pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Evening, Mayor.
We have a presentation.
All set? Item number three, roll call, please.
Here.
Here.
Commissioner Callahan?
Here.
Commissioner Gillette is absent. Commissioner Murphy?
Here.
Commissioner Perkins?
Here.
Commissioner Stewart?
Here.
Thank you. Item number four, any amendments to the agenda?
Yeah, I've got one. I would like to add an item to the new business, if I could. And I would like to title it Fire Companies Radio System Upgrades. I'd like that to be a reoccurring item on the agenda, and I'll explain why when we get to it.
What do you want to title it?
Fire Companies Radio System Upgrades.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number five, special recognitions and presentations. Chief Blanchett.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening. Good evening, Council. Bill Blanchett, Chief of Police. So last week, actually on March 18th, there was a medical emergency at the Tile Middle School. And one of the students there performed what I'll say is heroically. So in order to thank him for his service, I have a police department commendation for life-saving. And I'd like to call Jace up if I could. This, and it's the Montville Police Department Commendation for Life-Saving awarded to Jace Adams. On March 18th, 2024, at approximately 10:44 a.m., a Leonard J. Tile Middle School student began joking while eating lunch in a school cafeteria. The student, who was in obvious distress, stood up and approached lunch staff while placing both hands on his throat in the universal sign of choking. Immediately recognizing the seriousness of the incident, Jace Adams ran to assist the choking student. Jace began performing the Heimlich maneuver and provided several abdominal thrusts to the student. A school resource officer ran to assist, and the two rescuers were able to dislodge the obstruction, allowing the student to resume normal breathing. The quick actions of Jace Adams undoubtedly saved the life of his fellow student who had choked while eating lunch. Jace Adams is to be commended for demonstrating exceptional life-saving techniques. His actions are in the highest tradition of the town of Montville and the Montville Police Department. Congratulations. So I'd also like to present Jace with the Chief of Police Award, and it's a challenge coin. And it's a Chief's Award of Excellence for Duty Above and Beyond. So congratulations. And if you think the school resource officer is going to get away unscathed, if I can have Kirsten Todd come up here. This is Officer Todd. She, along with Jace, was able to dislodge the food obstruction from the student. So you also get a Chief's Award.
It didn't happen unless it gets on Facebook. Outstanding. Thank you, Chief.
job.
Right. Outstanding job, young man. Congratulations. Item number six, communications. None? Should have all the monthly statistics reports. We don't have Mohegan's fire.
Or Chesterfield.
Or Chesterfield.
Or building.
Or building. Okay. Item number seven, to consider an act on a motion to approve the regular minute meetings of February 26, 24. I'll make a motion that we accept.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, yeah. A couple of corrections, if I could.
Sure.
On page 2 of 11, first paragraph, you have in there, or there is in there, Chief Turner also referenced the new NFDA. That's NFPA standard. PA. November Frank Delta Alpha. And also, again, a little bit further down in that paragraph, it says Chief Turner also explained that funds for SCDA, that should be SCBA. And at the very end, there was a motion that was made. It was 4-0, but it has 5-0-1. So that motion, there was only four of us there, should have been 4-0-0, I guess. I don't know how you do it. At the end of that paragraph, there was a motion that was made to approve the fire company's budgets and CIP budgets. It was a roll call vote, four commissioners, Perkins, Stewart, Murphy, myself, none opposed, so it would have been a 5-0-0 vote, I guess. That's 5-0-1.
Okay.
I don't know how you calculate it.
Yeah, that.
Also, if you go to page 8 of 11, this is down in the last paragraph where we were discussing Mohegan's generator that imploded on their rescue truck. If you go down 1, 2, 3, 4, on the fifth line, it says it is not as a Mohegan 2008 reserve truck. That should be rescue truck. And that's all I have.
I have one other item back on page 2 in that same paragraph that identified NFPA and SCBA. There's in the middle of the paragraph, it's the cost of $625,000 for replacement should be rescue truck. I think that's what's in the capital improvement plan for the rescue. And in item 6, copies of the monthly statistics, there was nothing from the building official.
Anything else? So we have to amend the motion. Somebody want to make to accept those changes?
I'll make a motion to amend the original motion with the corrections that were identified by Commissioner Baker and myself.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Commissioner Bauer, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. And opposed? Aye. Now we need a motion, the original motion, to vote on the original motion to accept the minutes as read. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Now it works. Item number 8. Any remarks from the public? Agenda items only, 3-minute limit. And remarks from the public, Any remarks from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you. Remarks from department heads? Lieutenant Radford? Evening, Lieutenant.
Good evening. Dave Radford, Lieutenant, Montville Police. I'm going to start off with the police department's February monthly statistics. Open the paper. With a total of 1,059 incidents. Citations were as follows. We had 32 infractions, six juvenile summons, 14 misdemeanors, 175 written warnings for a total citations of 227. The town animal control activity report for February, they had 14 animals impounded for the month. Year to date's 20. Number of animals sold as pets is 7. Year to date's 9. They had total complaints investigated 22. Year to date 64. Animal bites investigated was 2, total 3 for the year. Total enforcement action was 2, with 4 for the year. And the total other calls for service was 59, with 122 for the year. The town of Salem, they had 1 animal impounded for a total of 2 for the year to date. And then 3 complaints investigated, with a total of 12 for the year. No animal bites this month, with 1 for the year listed. That's it for statistics. We had, was able to successfully apply for and receive a distracted driving high visibility enforcement grant. The grant affords the town of Montville $24,461.07 toward distracted driving enforcement on our town roads, and that'll be for the month of April. It's kind of a PSA. I gave it last month for the speed enforcement. Didn't really work, but we're out there. Positive correspondence. As you've already heard, the first one I'm going to read has to do with Officer Todd, but I'm going to reiterate it again. On 3/18/24, while performing as a school resource officer at Tyler Middle School during the lunch break, Officer Todd was called by a panicked staff to assist with a child choking. Officer Todd immediately responded and took over for another student that was performing the Heimlich maneuver on the choking student. Officer Todd successfully performed the Heimlich maneuver, dislodging the airway blockage. The student quickly recovered and was assisted to the school nurse for further evaluation. Officer Todd's quick and calm response and ability to provide medical aid in crisis displayed superior performance in her duties and resulted in a life-saving action. I have 3 other positive correspondents. For Officer Cuckle, Officer Cassidy, and Officer Lalamere. They're all very similar, but a little bit different, so I'll read them all. This one's Officer Cuckle. Officer Cuckle, along with Officer Cassidy and Officer Lalamere, located a vehicle that was engaged in pursuit with Waterford Police. The suspect vehicle was reported by Waterford Dispatch to be a File 1 stolen motor vehicle. Upon locating the vehicle, Officer Cuckle attempted to conduct a motor vehicle stop on the suspect vehicle. The suspect vehicle engaged in pursuit. Officer Cuckle was the lead pursuing vehicle. Officer Cuckle operated his cruiser in a professional manner under stressful conditions. When the pursuit terminated in a collision, Officer Cuckle assisted Mohegan tribal officers in locating and taking the two suspects into custody. Officer Cuckle demonstrated his knowledge in vehicle pursuits and officer safety tactics. Next one's Officer Cassidy. Along with Officer Cuckle and Officer Lalamere, located a vehicle that was engaged in pursuit with Waterford Police. The suspect vehicle was reported by Waterford Dispatch to be a File 1 stolen motor vehicle. Upon locating the vehicle, Officer Cassidy called out its location, direction of travel, and description of the suspect vehicle, and did not attempt to stop the vehicle until other officers were in the area. Officer Cassidy became the second cruiser behind Officer Cuckle, trailing the suspect vehicle. Once the suspect vehicle engaged in pursuit, Officer Cassidy continued radio communications, updating location along with other pertinent information. When the pursuit terminated in a collision, Officer Cassidy assisted Mohegan tribal officers in locating and taking the two suspects into custody. Officer Cassidy demonstrated his knowledge of vehicle pursuit, proper radio communications, and officer safety tactics. Officer Lalamere, Officer Cuckle, and Officer Cassidy located a vehicle that was engaged in a pursuit with Waterford Police. The suspect vehicle was reported by Waterford Dispatch to be a follow-on stolen motor vehicle. Officer Lalamere, knowing the suspect vehicle already engaged Waterford Police in pursuit, put himself into position to set up stop sticks if they were to be authorized. Upon locating the vehicle, Officer Cuckle attempted to conduct a motor vehicle stop with the suspect. The suspect vehicle engaged in pursuit. Officer Lalamere deployed authorized stop sticks, which the suspect vehicle struck. When the pursuit terminated in collision, Officer Lalamere assisted Mohegan Travel officers in locating and taking the two suspects into custody. Officer Lalamere also located burglary tools and a rental agreement inside the suspect vehicle. Officer Lalamere demonstrated his knowledge in pursuit, vehicle pursuits, the use of stop sticks, and evidence collection. Other than that, the only thing I'm going to ask is, and I think it's already corrected itself, but in the back there, if you guys don't move the microphones in front of you, you can't hear the new system.
Okay.
Other than that, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
So, yeah, on these new microphones, we complained about. I did anyway, about not getting them out. So get them in front of you so they can hear you talk.
We also noticed that there's one missing here. That's all we had before. And you were jointly using one before anyway. So just pull that mic a little closer to you.
Okay.
And everybody will be able to hear you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm Marshall Barnes. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening. Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. Activity report for the Fire Marshal's office for the month of February. 21 businesses and apartments were inspected, one fire investigation, 37 scene responses, issued two burn permits, two illegal burns were investigated, and one complaint was investigated. During the month of January, a total of 5 hours was spent on the emergency management side of obligations.
I do have one question for you, Paul. What is 37 responses, what are those?
That's either myself or the deputy fire marshal responding to calls during the day or calls that we are requested to the scene at.
Okay. Can you break that down next time, if you could, on the ones that you are requested separate from the ones you're responding to?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Could I ask you to also mention the two wires?
So Noah Dombrowski has been on since February. He's doing very well with his training. Joshua Braga is the second new hire. He started last Monday, and he's doing very well in the beginning stages of his training. He's been getting very extensive training, so he's progressing nicely so far. Noah has moved over to the east side, working with the Mohegan crew, paid staff over there, and Josh is starting on the west side with Chesterfield and Oakdale.
Thank you.
Quick question, Paul. Two questions, actually. Did both of those new hires come from, they both came from Colchester, right?
Correct.
They both have experience in the back of the ambulance, no?
Limited experience.
Limited, okay. They were experienced on pumpers?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Limited experience. Okay. Noah is qualified to operate two engines in Colchester. Josh is not. He hadn't even started driving apparatus yet. This will be his first experience driving apparatus.
Okay. The other question I have is, have you heard anything about the millstone siren down on Route 85?
I've had extensive meetings between the Department of Emergency Management, Homeland Security, and Millstone. They are investigating right now a different type of alerting for the area, which consists something similar to the Everbridge system. They are getting pushback from Fishers Island, who wants to maintain the sirens, and some shoreline communities want to maintain the sirens. But right now, Millstone is pushing forward with their Everbridge notifications, trying to work out all of that. The problem with the siren in front of Chesterfield was they don't have those in stock, so it had to be built.
Yep.
And my understanding of it is still being built. I will have Millstone representatives in my EOC tomorrow for a tabletop I can ask them then if what the progress is on it. So,
just curious.
Yeah. If I find anything out, I'll give you a call.
Thank you.
All right.
So if I could say one thing on that, though, Steve, on those two hires, when we interviewed, I'm not going to name the names, but if somebody wants to know, they can ask me later, that one of them was the number one points getter for their for the Colchester Fire Department, a high point man for 2 years in a row. And he told us that he had ridden, he was the highest, second highest in ambulance ride-alongs in their department. And that one of the other ones was, even though he wasn't a driver, it was because age restriction, wasn't because he wanted to, but he is a certified state pump operator. So, okay. Any other reports? Committee and liaison reports. Reports from Fire Department Liaison, Krista Perkins.
As you know, the reports were submitted for the incident reports for the month of February were submitted for Montville and Oakdale. I know Chesterfield and Mohegan will get them out when they're ready, and then I will forward them on to you guys. Just to let everybody know, the Volunteer Firefighters Relief Committee next meeting is April 22nd at 5 o'clock.
Thank you. Animal Control, Commissioner Callahan.
All set.
Report, nothing from the police liaison, and a report from the building, Commissioner Stewart.
We didn't get any report, but Mr. Mayor, is Dave back?
Dave Jensen?
Yeah, on a limited basis?
One day a week, part time.
Okay.
Yeah, Friday, usually works Fridays, and if we need him at a pinch, he can do another day. We're in a dire need of him being there too.
Would any of his duties involve budgets and monthly reports for us, possibly?
No, but I can get, I didn't realize it was an issue, to be honest with you. I should have paid more attention, my fault. But Doug Colbert should be able to get you what you need.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Moving on, item number 11, remarks from Fire Chief. No remarks, Chief? Nothing? Okay. Item 12, unfinished business. To consider an act on a motion to approve the policies to systemize and retain firefighter data. I believe it's still in the works. I don't know if the reports, Lenny.
Yeah, just let me say that I'm still waiting for the chiefs to provide some program for me. I have spoken with the career staff. They have programs ready to go. I'm going to compare the both.
Okay, thank you. Item number 12, new business. To consider an act on a motion to approve the firefighters 24-25 public safety budget.
Not new, unfinished.
Hmm?
Number 12 is unfinished, not new.
13.
Oh, I'm sorry, 13, item 13.
Okay.
New business. So, you all should have gotten the email that I sent out from the finance director, and as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't still answer my question.
I thought you did you invite her to come tonight? I thought I saw you said
yep.
She was coming tonight. Okay.
I believe the finance director is in the finance meeting.
Table it. Table it.
Well,
no.
I'm gonna tell you my feeling is at this point, looking at the numbers that she provided, it's the same thing that was brought up at the last meeting in which there was opposition to that number and that figure. So I'm going to make a motion that we hire one paid firefighter this year. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I think that my understanding of the numbers is the numbers that we have on the budget are the salaries for three new firefighters at a total of $176,300. Unfortunately, that's all it encompasses is the salary. Everything else that would normally be considered part of what they get or what is taken out is just not provided to us. It's covered by the mayor's budget, the Board of Finance, somebody that handles all the rest of that type of stuff. So we don't, if you want a true understanding of what it's going to cost to hire three more firefighters, you look at this supplemental sheet that was provided last month and again in your email, and then it would run the numbers up to instead of 57,000 or $58,737 per person, it now goes up to $110,669 for one. So that's why it sounds like a big number, but the only thing we have to approve is their salary. So I don't particularly like that system, but I guess it's being covered by somebody's budget in town. And
so the number, if I may, Steve,
sure.
The number that they supposed provided to us was that the salary was $57,737, payroll taxes $4,493, pension contribution $13,451. Life insurance $304, health insurance less the copay $22,224, and health savings account of $1,500 for a total without the cost of turnout gear and radio was $100,709. And if you added on the set of turnout gear, which was $5,000, and a portable radio, which was $4,960, it came out to $110,000.
That's what was handed out the last meeting.
Yep.
Well, what was sent the other day in an email from the finance director differs from that. And I'm looking at those numbers. The salary is $58,767, payroll taxes $44.96, pension $13,458, life insurance $304, health insurance $22,224, health savings $1,500, and wage plus fringe equals $100,748. So that does change a little bit.
A little bit.
This is what the finance director sent out to us. So she also added in a set of turnout gear for $5,000. She also added in $49.60. And I'm not inclined to add those two numbers to that cost of the salary because, to the best of my knowledge, the radios were covered under the fire marshal's capital budget. And the turnout gear, I'm sure should be covered under that same budget. So I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why those items should be included in the salary. So the number I'm looking at that was accurate as per her figuring was $107,48 for one new employee. But it still doesn't answer the other questions that we were looking for. So I'm okay with one employee at this point. I'm still interested to know what the cost of overtime is a year. That's still not in here. It's not here. So, I mean, obviously paying time and a half is cheaper than hiring new. So if I don't know that number, it's still tough to make that informed, intelligent decision on which way to go.
Well, in all fairness, Steve, it's always a matter of judgment or of how you calculate the need for overtime replacing real bodies. There's always the other factors to consider. You know, it's how many hours they're working, if availability. How many times you got to mando somebody, which are always possibilities. And I know there's discussions that go both ways as far as who is going to take care of this in light of the recent arbitrary decision. But I think you just have to weigh, really, the amount that she gave you for the three, which is $300,000, thereabouts, and whether or not you want to recommend that amount. It really comes down to that. And the council will just have to decide if it's in the cards in the we can afford. Now, the rest of the information that you're asking for, I agree with her. It does take a while for it to come through, and maybe she should have started sooner to get it together. But, and again, in fairness, it is a busy time of year, and this isn't here right now.
Yeah, I just think, you know, at, you know, $300,000, and it, you know, when you're looking at adding 300 for to add these guys on, the school budget, the police are raising, the dog pound. I mean, there's some big money coming up, and you know what? I'd rather see us be able to get one than not get any, because when they get to the council and they look at it, they may look at it differently. And if they want to, if they want to hire three, because the council has the final say anyway. But I would rather see us at least get one. I don't believe that they will pass three in my talkings to some council members about a lot of different expenses going on in town. And I would like to see us at least be able to get one.
I have a question. Is there a time limit? Can you do one first and then can two or three come after, or they all have to be together?
No.
Something that the commission would have to decide. Do you want to fund for half a year? You know, we've done that before. But go with one, as you recommend, and you know, see how it shakes out and what the council decides to do. You know, this is my first budget, and I know I'm way behind. I haven't met with all of the departments yet, and I haven't finalized mine. I'll fall on the sword. I'll do better next year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean,
I have something to say.
Yes,
I understand that you want to turn around and we don't have the true numbers. I get that. And you just turn around and said, well, let's just recommend one. The fire marshal came to us and wanted three. I still think we need three more on it. I'm sure we're not going to get three, but I'd rather them tell us we get one than to say one and then we get none.
Yeah.
So I would go for three because who knows? I mean, they said 300. I think that's the lowest budget that everybody else is putting in. If the you
well, it's 300 for three guys. Their budget's over a million, so.
No, I'm talking the three guys. But it's if we didn't put the three in, that was 300,000. Mm-hmm. So I say go three. If you have a motion for one, I'm going to say
okay,
no.
Okay, that's fine.
I'd rather have three.
That's fine.
Well, I think it's kind of this is the way I look at it. We're not. Right now, we should have 16 total. We are now running with 13. So we're three people short, but we're covering all the shifts. We're covering those other three individuals with overtime. Am I not correct? Okay. So what I think Gary's up to and why I seconded it was if we add one more person, now we're up to 14. And we're still covering two shifts with overtime. And I kind of like the idea of phasing in where maybe we do one this year, we do one next year, and one the year after. And that way we lessen the burden to the taxpayers. And I agree with the chairman. I think we stand a better chance of being able to get what we want and also lessening that burden of having to pay the overtime for the other two shifts that we're still going to have to fill with overtime. That's my opinion.
I understand. I can't shut my mouth now. I understand what you're saying. I'd be happy with one, but we keep asking for these more firefighters and we're not getting them. So let's shoot for three. You never know. It's not going to hurt anything because it's got to go through the finance committee anyway, and then it goes to the town council. if we settle on one, they're going to just, we'll just keep with one. If we need it, if someone can get up or the fire marshal can come up, if three works out and it lightens the burden on the paid firefighters so they don't have the time and a half and all that, you indicated that three more will help with that.
And your opinion on if you get one now and then if you can at least get one now, what do you do with the other two? And when? Like how soon?
Obviously, I'd like all three now. Mm-hmm. I do understand the burden. I'm a taxpayer in town, too. Mm-hmm. I don't want my taxes to go up, but I want to be protected. Mm-hmm. Okay? If I can get one now, one in 6 months, and one 6 months after that, that would fulfill the contract and would lessen the burden on the guys on the floor now. Right now, I have guys working three shifts in a row sometimes, which is, it's not the healthiest thing to do, but it's what's got to be done. With the two guys in training, they're not assigned to a shift yet. So in actuality, I only have 11 guys on the floor right now with two in training. Okay. So once those two come off of training and get assigned to a shift, we'll be 13 strong where we need 16. So one now, one in 6 months, one 6 months after that, that would be ideal. I understand the council not giving three at once. Trust me, I do. If I can get three at once, of course I'm going to take it. But give me one now. Give me one in 6 months. Give me one 6 months after that. And then we fulfill the contract.
Is that something that can be told to the council that this is what we want? Three. We want three. But we're going to at least take the one, and then in 6 months we're coming back to you, and then 6 months after that we're coming back to you again. Do you think that would be, like,
if I have
make it easier for them to say yes to the three?
If I have to stand before the council and put it that way, I'll do that.
Okay. Do you think that the council, town council, has an appetite for a mid-year appropriation for a firefighter for a half a year? It's going to have to be a mid-year appropriation.
Yeah, I was going to say the six-month thing makes it tougher because it's you got a year budget, so ask for two if you want two within that year.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just for ease, you know, make things simpler, I would think.
Absolutely.
That would.
Question.
What I have to take into consideration also is summertime's coming up.
Yeah.
Guys are going to want to take vacations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're going to get sick. I have to fill that too. So on top of the open shifts created by the contract, now I have to fill those vacancies. Mm-hmm. It's taxing on them, yes, but they're doing it. I haven't had any pushback yet.
So
it's
if
not gonna last forever.
So if we prepared to say like I won't vote for three paid, are you prepared to go in front of the finance committee with all your numbers and all your statistics indicating why you need three?
Yes.
Well, I think it's incumbent upon us to also go to the finance committee and the town council to do the same thing.
And I have, and we've been turned down. What I mean when you say, do it this year, and the next year, do it this year. Okay, I did. I stood up. We didn't get anything.
Well, if you really need it, we got to push for it. Do you have any idea roughly how long it takes for somebody to get trained?
If they come with experience, in the contract it allows for 8 weeks of training. If they come to us with experience from another career department, I can get them on shift probably in less than 8 weeks.
I disagree with that statement, Paul.
No.
Okay. I disagree with that statement. There are a lot of volunteers out there that could step into this job tomorrow. Okay. You know it and I know it. So.
I've had volunteers who have had multiple.
Well, all these guys that are working for you now were volunteers at one time, and most of them still are volunteers, right?
Don't take offense to it. I'm discounting.
I do take offense to it. When you use language like that, and it gets out there, that people will hear that and will take offense to it, like I do.
So give me a volunteer with 10 or more years of experience, who's an experienced pump operator, and have them apply, and they'll have the same route.
What do you mean 10 years as a paid firefighter?
A volunteer. What I said, volunteer.
Is that is
a volunteer with 10 years of experience.
That's
it, true. Is, pump operator experience, and I can get it done in eight weeks.
That's not even the job description now. I read it. There's nothing in there that says you need 10 years experience. Minimum is a volunteer.
He asked how long it would take. I said 8 weeks with experience. We can bounce figures back and forth. We can argue about this all night. Okay?
Right. But, you know,
the more experience, the less training. The less experience, the more training.
I understand that.
And you can't argue with that.
No, but when you put a job description on the street for a career firefighter, it doesn't say anything about that.
He's not saying that.
I have one with me if you want to read it. I've got it.
I was told I couldn't put that on there.
Fire Marshal, quick question for you. You like that? Can you guys hear me back there okay?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Make sure my question gets out into the back. LT, you got me? Good. Paul, question. I'm not nearly as knowledgeable with the fire marshal stuff as I should be, I guess, but a candidate pool. What does that look like? Because it seems to be the discussion here is the candidate pool. When historically, over the last 5 years, 10 years, when you go out and you look for a qualified candidate, how many candidates are you getting? And of that candidate pool, how many meet the criteria? So in other words, if we go for three today, your candidate pool is three, then we're going to hire one that's qualified and two that are probably going to take a while. So my question is, what does the candidate pool look like historically? And of that candidate pool, how many do you think we'd be able to pull out of it to get a qualified person that we want?
That's a tough question to answer because the candidate pool has varied every time. I had one guy leave in June of last year and another one leave like right around August. Those two vacancies we just hired after, I think it was three rounds of putting the job out. For various reasons, the candidates were disqualified. Reasons I can't go into.
It's fine.
But right now, every career department in the area is having a hard time recruiting. Just like it's hard to recruit volunteers. They're having a very hard time recruiting. There are city departments right now who used to require you to go to the fire academy for a 19-week course are now taking lateral transfers because they're hurting so bad for firefighters. I will take, as long as any volunteer applies, as long as they have all the credentials, I'll give them a shot. I'll recommend they get a shot, 100%.
No, that's fine, Fire Marshal. What I was trying to understand is if we go for the three, as opposed to going for a 1-1-1 or a 2 and then 1 later on, if we go for 3 and we recommend 3 and then it goes to the council and the council says, yeah, let's do 3, are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot because we're not going to get 3 qualified and we're going to have to take somebody less qualified when we could have waited a year and got a better applicant?
That's hard to say. It truly is. What we can do is put the job out, and it's up to human resources and the mayor how long we keep the applications active. We can do it for 6 months, we can do it for a year. We hire one now, and if the council approves it, hire one in 6, 8, 10, 12 months, we still have an active list. We can hire off of that list.
Okay.
Gary,
thanks, Fire Marshal.
If we, in the interview, when we have them come in for interview, if we don't think any of them are qualified for us to push it through, we can say,
we do that now, Karen.
I was going to say, that's what we did. We don't push them through if we didn't think that they could do it.
The problem is, you, me, Steve, we sit on the interview with another paid chief from another department. The person that interviews is only as good as they interview that night. And we found that out to be, if you remember when you guys, when we did the police chief's interviews, okay? The people, the guy that came in, everybody was telling us that they're going to have this guy who's going to be an awesome chief. The guy came in, he fell flat on his face. He had a bad night, and we didn't choose him. He had a bad night. And that's the same thing that happens when we interview firefighters. A guy comes in, he's real good. Tomorrow, he may be the worst one at the interview. It's a chance that you take. I have, me personally, I have a problem with the way that we do the hiring, because we do it here, that we choose, and the it says that it's supposed to go before here, and you know, we have a committee that meets, and then it goes to the mayor. That's what the statute says is supposed to happen. What happens now is it goes from us to Paul to the lady downstairs, and they do other interviews. I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that, because it doesn't say they're supposed to do that. And why the hell do you need us?
In all fairness.
And I'm talking. I know what I know. I talked to the mayor about this. The mayor can do that. That's his prerogative to do that.
Right.
I have no issue with that.
Okay.
I just don't think it's right that you and the woman downstairs, the human resources director, have a say in that decision. You're the fire marshal. You are not fire chief. You're not, you know, it's not your opinion. Should not matter in this, other than when you get they get hired, you ask them, what size uniform do you wear? What's your gear? Here's your radio number. What's your vacation schedule? I'm sorry, Paul, you don't belong there. You are not. That has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. The town charter says we do it, and the mayor does it. It doesn't say the fire marshal, the dog warden, the police chief, or anybody else. That's what it says. And every single time that we do it differently, we violate the charter, in my opinion. And I'm getting sick and tired of all this, just like you are.
What if he sat in on the interviews just to sit in on, so it doesn't have to go that extra step?
No, he doesn't belong there, period.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I have a couple comments on the budget. The pool of firefighters that available went down by 14 sub-base hired recently, so that was in the paper. And I also heard someplace that EB is going to be hiring 31 firefighters. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. No matter what you look for, you gotta provide something that's going to draw people in and keep them here. So.
But if we put it in the budget,
oh yeah,
okay, and then we only get one qualified, we've been approved. Say we've been approved for two or three, but we only have enough really for one qualified, and then we look out again and we interview. We don't need to permission again because we still have it.
No, I agree that we ought to recommend approval of the budget, looking at three. And, you know, depending on how it goes through the year, we don't want to hire three at all at one time, because trying to train three guys, right now we got two, and, you know, there could be a lot of trouble, wasted time, and things like that. So it's better to stagger them through the year. And you know, if you approve or get three approved, then you can, like I said, stagger it, and you can take the money that you would pay for the other two. You hire one and use that money for overtime. I think just hire or recommend three.
Going back, and I may have you at a disadvantage because I don't know if you have your budget with you tonight or not that you presented.
I do.
You do? Okay. Under the 10880 line items. Sure. That's going to have to be adjusted.
Okay.
On to the fire protection budget, 10880. Overtime, 51,100. You got in there, you've increased it to $160,000.
I did not increase that, the finance director did.
Where did she get that figure? What is it for?
Anything dealing with salary and overtime, I did not figure.
This is exactly what my problem is here. We're looking at a $1,386,300 budget. You got $160,000 in there in overtime. I'm not going to use the word assume because you know what happens when you assume. Okay, so I'm looking at that $160,000 expenditure, and is that for the overtime required to fill the three shifts, the three vacant shifts?
Well, not to use your word assume, but I'm going to assume it's overtime built in for vacation, sick time. I don't know if she figured in the filling of the shifts.
I think she might have included the increase in pay.
So if,
Gloria,
with the totals you had it, that were in the light print, I'm going to say it, the light color print, for the three people you had 176.3, which is really not an accurate number. Well, it is, but it isn't. I'm looking at it as a total. So then I would assume that if we hired one, that 176.3 would now be 58,767. Again, I am assuming, which...
The 58,767 is the base salary for that.
Correct. So if you multiply 58,767, which I don't have my phone with me, times 3, that should come up to 176,300?
Correct. It gets you to that. I already did the math before.
It does. So then what we would be doing if we hired one is reducing that item to 57,767 from 176,300. And then, which would reduce the budget by less than 386,300. That would bring that budget down. You're over there doing our math for us.
What is the numbers?
Your total budget now is 386,300. And you would minus 57,767 times 2. And that would tell you what the new budget would be because we're only hiring one. Still trying to figure. Because we're going to have to state what the new budget amount is going to be when we pass it as part of the motion.
At 170,857. Someone wants to check that. Go ahead.
All right, so that was, 58,767 times 2 is what?
Oh, that's, you said 57, hold on. 58, what?
767 times 2.
That's 117,534.
Okay, so you're 1, so you should have, you should be 1386,300 minus that number you just gave us, which is, I believe you're 178,57.
257 what?
857?
Our math people are working on this.
Is that what you got? Yeah, we're closer. We're 10,000 off.
At 1268766.
All right, so again, that's the 58,767 times 2,
mm-hmm.
subtracted from
1,386,300. 386,300. Yeah, 1268766.
1268766. So that would be the new budget if we hired one for the 10880 series. And again, the 160, we're not sure where that came from. Well, what she calculated, what the mayor thinks he may have an idea where it came from, the $160,000 for the overtime.
Yeah,
I know. I'm putting you on the spot here. I don't mean to.
That's right.
No, I don't mean to.
Not a problem.
I just want to make sure we get this right if we're going to do it.
I imagine she increased it by $20,000 just because we're spending more on overtime because of our schedule, so.
Well, she increased it from 96 to 160.
No, adopted in 2024 was 140.
All right, you're right, my bad. So that can't be for the overtime then. For
well, some of it, I'm sure it's.
Yeah. We got a motion on the floor.
Yeah. All right, so the motion's on the floor is to hire one paid firefighter. Roll call vote.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think. I don't know.
Yes.
No. With the stipulation, I wanted three. I had to say that.
No.
Do you want to make a motion that this is to be the new, so we can pass that budget?
You go ahead, you can do it. All right, so that motion passes 4-2.
So, and we're going to have this checked by the finance director, but I'm going to make a motion that the final total for the fire protection budget, which is 10,880, be adjusted to 1,268,766, pending the finance director's approval. 1,268,766, and again, the finance director has to review that and approve it.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to adjust the fire protection budget to 1,268,766.
Which reflects one hiring one firefighter.
That reflects the hiring of the one firefighter, yes. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Well, what we just did? That's the budget, the new budget.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Callahan?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
No.
Mr. Stewart?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-1. Right, under new business. Let me bring up
Item B.
The radio, yep. Right? Item B. Item B is the.
Addition. Yeah, item B is the addition of the item that I wanted added about the fire company's radio system upgrades. What kind of brought this to light was last month when the fire marshal showed us his capital budget, and in there was, what was it, $65,000 for radios for the career firefighters. After that, I kind of thought about this, and I asked the chiefs whether I had understood that they are working on this exact same thing, the radio system upgrades for the fire companies. And they said they are. They're out trying to attain grants to help offset the cost to the taxpayers. So what I would like to do, this could take a while. It's going to take a while. Make sure it's done right. And everybody's on board on the same sheet of music. We're all doing it the same way for the best interest of safety on the fire ground and command and communications. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to make this a permanent item on the agenda until this project is brought to fruition, for however long it takes. Because that's the only way we're going to keep track of it and make sure we're progressing along. And if you're looking for someone to be a liaison to that committee, I would volunteer to do that.
Well, I think that's an awesome idea, Brian. You want to be a liaison to that commission?
I mean, we're just going to have to...
I mean, to that committee?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to put together a committee of individuals, too, to make sure that everybody's represented, again, so we all know what we're doing and we're all on the same page of music. But with your permission, I can reach out to the fire chiefs and see who then...
I would...
The rest of the parties involved and put something together, and then we can report back next month on how we made out.
Does anybody... Does anybody have a problem if we start another a group that just the radios? I do think that, you know, if you're going to head that up, that's fine. But Commissioner Perkins is the liaison to the fire department, so please make sure that she's invited to all the meetings, and she can have a say in that meeting also. And we'll make sure that this is our reoccurring. Any other discussion on that? All right. No.
Do we need a vote on it?
I don't, do we? We can vote on it. Did you make that a motion?
I didn't make it a motion. Right. No. Somebody wants to just...
Yeah, go ahead. Just make it.
I'll make a motion that we add a reoccurring light item to the agenda known as fire companies radio system upgrades, and that we create a subcommittee because of individuals to make up that committee and each month report back with the progress of where we are as far as that project goes.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
Just for clarification.
Yes, sir.
Who's on the committee?
I guess it would have to be the fire chiefs, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner Perkins, and the fire marshal. Okay. And then they can invite whoever they want to, you know, sit in or bring knowledge or whatever. If they want to bring somebody in, you know, I don't know.
I'm just asking this. Should dispatch be in on it as well, since it's the they were on it before, since it's the radio and it all goes through dispatch anyway? Or if you don't think so, I was just asking.
No,
I think they should.
Yeah,
I think dispatch and I think somebody, a representative from the police department, would probably be instrumental in that too, because their radios wear out as well.
Well, they are responsible for the dispatchers too.
Yeah.
Sorry to add you to another committee, but...
No, I mean, we have to know what your capabilities are and whether we can meet whether the fire departments can meet what we currently have for a system and make sure that it'll be operable and the safety of number one priority.
You do know we did have a committee for this prior, so we'll try to see if we can get some of the old notes from that, where the fire chiefs all went to it, lieutenant went to it, fire marshal, and everybody was talking about which radio that they should be compatible with dispatch, because we're changing into the new system.
Okay, roll call vote, Gloria.
So did we add the police department to the motion?
Yeah, you could.
Yes, absolutely.
Gloria, can you read the motion back?
I'll amend the motion to the police department, dispatch center,
he likes
whatever.
That,
yeah. That'll work.
I'm so sorry. It's funny.
Recurring agenda item to create a subcommittee to make for the radio.
Fire companies radio system upgrade. Yeah. I'll be the liaison to it, so I'll be reporting.
The mayor brought up who's on the subcommittee. He brought that up.
Yeah, so it'll include the police department, fire marshal,
fire chiefs,
and the two commissioners from here.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Bauer?
Yes.
Favor.
Commissioner Baker.
Yes.
Yes. I want to be heard.
Okay, item number 14, remarks from the public, non-agenda items only, 3 minutes, non-agenda items. 3 minute limit. Tim, you can't talk about that now. This is for non-agenda items only.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to bring up was the comment made by the candidate pool, which is a really great question because the fire service is in flux. We do have, our community, like every other community, as we start facing issues, the natural tendency is to try to hire every time a community hires somebody, it takes somebody out of the volunteer pool or candidate pool, making it harder and harder. So we're going to end up competing against other departments. And if we look to our neighbors to arrive, and this is just something that the community needs to keep on the horizons, smaller towns like ours are going to find it difficult to maintain a level because other departments we've already seen in the area that they're starting to lateral transfers where they're going to look to siphon off experience because they don't want to send people to the academy and the candidate pool is getting shallow. So it's important for us to try to get people on board and to get them into a good culture and want to stay here because it's the non-tangibles that will keep people in Mottville. People are seeking a certain type of career. Obviously, they would end up here in the first place, but once we get them here, it's important to try to retain them as much as we can because the candidate pool, I can tell you, 15 years ago when I started, I sat in a room with 600 guys in New London for like two jobs. And when I applied here 15 years ago, I was up against 30 people for a job. And, New London just hired something like six and they had 12 applicants. It's getting difficult. And the more we hire and as a community, the harder and harder it gets because it's coming at you from both ends. So that was a really great question and something that every decision we have going forward needs to keep in mind.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak from the public? On non-agenda items only. 3 minute limit.
For grant.
Why we weren't getting as many quality candidates. Well, we had some, and then they didn't take the job. Part of that was reflected at a couple of times at the meetings I was at, was these were individuals that had the experience, like the fire marshal talked about, but we were going to bring them in at the entry level, and they've got 10 years of experience, and now you want to give them the entry level. Apparently, the PD can adjust the starting salary based somewhat on experience. The fire departments can't do that right now. That needs to be fixed. That is really hampering getting good quality firefighters as career firefighters. We had several of them that specifically said, I can't take a pay cut. As far as the current firefighter training schedule, I will tell you I disagree with it. I don't like it. They spend 3 weeks on the west side, then 3 weeks on the east side. Then they're going to come back and be assigned on a shift, and then they're going to start training again. So what did they do in the 6 weeks prior? We're not efficiently training the new hire, in my opinion. I made that known to some other people, but I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy as far as progressing well in that.
Thank you, Chief. Anybody else wishing to speak? Non-agenda items, 3 minute limit. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? Remarks from the mayor. Mr. Mayor.
We start off by talking about the item 12A on the agenda. I just wanted to add to that that once I have the proposals in my office to look over, they will be forwarded to public safety for further evaluation and for recommendations.
Thank you.
Today I received a letter of support from the tribe on recommending or support for the animal control facility that we're trying to build. That adds that now I have three actual letters of support which will be forwarded to Hartford. I ask that anybody who wants to join in writing letters of support and going to our state representatives, five. We have five state reps, elected officials, that can receive those letters and support of the animal control facility. I've asked Kevin Ryan to revise House Bill 92, which was presently at $1.5 million, to construct the new facility. I've asked him to raise that to $2 million. I just did that today. Last week, I met with myself and Chief Blanchett and Lieutenant Radford, met with the Garden Lake Tri-Town meeting, discussed the horrid conditions that exist seasonally at Garden Lake, and hopefully we can get a grip on it. The department's ready to deploy our patrol boat there to try to deal with the problems with jet skis and speeders and everything else that's going on there. Salem has dedicated some hours with their resident troopers to deal with the boat launch and the beach area. And anybody that's been up there during the holiday on a hot summer day, weekends, you know what I'm talking about, and it is a pretty sight. We're also getting some introducing some legislation on curbing the attendance there by like they do at any other state park. That's in the works. I want to add my congratulations to J.C. Adams and Officer Todd on their actions to save a life, and there's nothing more rewarding in public safety than saving a life. Thank you to both of them for acting, and I'm sure the family of the victim thanks them also. In 2 weeks, we'll have at the town council meeting, we'll have a presentation to Jace Adams. And I know that the police department is going to have some award ceremonies for a few other things they have going on, which will include Officer Todd. I want to say thank you and attaboy, attagirl to Officer Kukul Cassidy, Todd and Lalamir for their recent activities and conducting themselves professionally and safely and getting the job done. That's a credit to the administration of that department. Let there be no bones about it. It's a direct credit to our selection and our promoting our department to the standards that is at now. The radon tests at Montville Company One came back higher than we anticipated, and I've asked for further testing to be done there. Mohegan is exclusively being used for response of the career staff while we address the issues at Montville. I'll take care of that building department problem and find out why we can't get some numbers. Got by me, what can I say? And I think that's it.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that. Remarks from the town council liaison.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for all your work and your recommendations. As I said before, we do take them serious and we appreciate it. There's a lot of good points that were brought up, especially about, you know, like filling the three vacancies all at once. So I think that's why we have these meetings and these discussions. So I just wanted to thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Remarks from the commissioners. Commissioner Perkins?
I just want to bring up again the fire departments at the community night at the Farmers Market, scheduled for June 25th from 4 to 7. The Farmers Market Committee would like to have the Touch a Truck like previously done before. So if the fire departments, each of them, can reach out to the Farmers Market and let them know that you're all set and you're on board. I also just wanted to note, I understand we're just recommending and everything, but I still believe that we should have pushed through the three firefighters, the paid firefighters. That's all I have.
Mr. Stewart?
Thank you. Congratulations to Jake and Officer Todd on the life-saving efforts there at Tile. And congratulations to the PD, particularly Lieutenant Radford, for getting the grant for the distracted driving. Congratulations on all those other attaboy letters. It's always nice to hear. It's nice to hear that there's mutual aid going on between police departments. It does pretty good on the fire side, and it's always nice to hear it on the PD side as well. Happy Easter.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Bauer?
No comments.
Commissioner Baker?
I echo what Commissioner Stewart said. You know, we've got a great public safety team in this town. We really do. And it shows with everything we do. And let's just work hard to keep it that way. I know you will. I don't have to ask you to do it. I just know it's in everybody's heart and their soul to be the best we can be. On the SAFER grant, one comment on that. The only thing I understand about a SAFER grant is you have a certain period of time to hire those people. So once you put in for that grant, once you accept that grant, once you get on board with that grant, I believe it's 3 years. No? 3 years, you have to hire those people full time into the system.
Five, I think it's five.
Or it could be five, I'm not sure.
It's five.
But the bottom line is this, if that's something we're going to pursue, then we have to be prepared as a town to budget for that in 5 years to make sure that we do live up to our part of the grant, because if we don't, it is my belief you have to pay the money back. You don't want to do that. So this is going to take a lot more work to make sure that we all can make this happen if we want to make it happen. But again, thank you guys so much for all you do. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and I'm sure the taxpayers would agree. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Callahan?
I want to say first, I have a question for the mayor. You had said something about Gardner Lake and the fire department having to respond, or us putting a boat in there, you said, to like a police boat?
Yeah, the PD. the PD has a boat that they're ready to put in. It's been up maintained and it's ready to go, and they're looking to get a schedule going as soon as they know the exact numbers from the GLA, the Garden Lake Authority.
Okay. It's a state park, though, right? So we really don't have, like, a lot that we have to do there or should do there because it's state, so shouldn't the state hire?
Here's the problem. You have Salem residents, Bowser residents, and Montville residents, and they're all three town residents are concerned. I'll just limit it to concern about the tranquility of that lake.
Right.
And it is what it used to be.
Right. And I understand all of that. My question, I think, is more of just like if it's a state park, shouldn't the state put more people out there, or it's up to the town to do it? Because
we would hope that the state would, but the state, you know, they depend on DEEP officers to patrol it, and they're so limited it's not even describable. But each town contributes to the Garden Lake Authority, and we ask that the Garden Lake Authority fund our the summers there for so many shifts, and we have authority from shore to shore. So we can satisfy the needs of all three towns, at least on the water. And Salem will satisfy the problems at the boat launch and at the beach.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Congratulations to Jace and Officer Todd. I think that's amazing that a child that age can respond so quickly. I saw he was in Boy Scouts, but still to, you know, think like that, maybe we should put him on the hire him somewhere here. Sounds like a good thing. And to, you know, Karen, I, Commissioner, I do understand as well with the three, kind of like like we've had other discussions because it is always seems to be up to the town council at the end of the thing, the end of the day. But I feel like there's so many budgets and so many things being thrown out that I feel like if we just kind of throw them a little bit, they won't really, like, freak out. That's my only thought. So I was kind of torn on, I got both of them, but other than that, I do want, the bottom line is everybody to be safe. I count on the fire department, the police department. I want everybody to be safe. So however we can figure that out, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. First of all, everybody that was recognized tonight, this is an awesome job, as always. And I do appreciate it, as I know everybody here does. For everybody sitting here, every single person here has a right to go before the town council and voice your opinion, whether you voted for or against what happened tonight. You can go there and voice your objection to them or whatever you think is right. You're a resident, you have that right to do that, and I think that you should do it. I think more people need to go to the town council and speak out, and not enough people do. Sometimes you go there and there's maybe not even a reporter anymore because there's not around, reporters are not here anymore. So there's only one to two people sitting in the audience. So the council needs to know everybody's opinion. I do want to comment on the training schedule on the firefighters. I do think that the new firefighter schedule stinks. I don't like the way they do it. I don't think there's a correct record of how they're doing it. I don't believe that they're signed off correctly, in my opinion. I would like to see a written policy, exactly how they're supposed to be trained, what the paperwork is, who signs off on it, the hours, the time, who trained them, all those things that would be needed if we get into somebody gets into an accident and OSHA or the state police get involved. They're going to want to see all their training records. And when they go to look at ours, we're going to go, wah, 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 because we don't have them correctly. I've been saying this for a long time. We need to have proper documentation. The volunteers, well, I should say, I only speak for Oakdale. When you drive a truck at Oakdale and you go to training, the person that's training you fills out the paper, the amount of hours and time that you spent, what you did, And then when the training guy or two that you've been dealing with feels that you're capable of doing that truck on your own, you go before a deputy chief or one of the assistant chiefs. They take you out to test you and make sure that you know everything about that truck, about the area you're responding to, everything that you need to know. And the last person that checks off on that file, that's probably as thick as this, is the chief to sign off that he knows that that person has been through a lot to get trained. And when it comes to the paint firefighters, they're not doing that. And I'm sorry, but they should. And I'm not blaming the town. I'm blaming the chiefs for not having this done. They need to do it, and they need to start doing it now. Because it is going to bite us, and I don't think any of us really want to deal with that. And Gloria, thank you very much for what you do. I understand there's a lot of work sitting there trying to get all this in for what we're saying, but I do appreciate it very much. Motion to adjourn, please.
Motion.
Motion made to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much, Council, Commissioners.
Him and her.